No, about what time I am afraid. And it's so important that we learn how to push through our fears to serve our God. So we're going to start off with Psalm 56, verse 1. O God, have mercy on me, for people are hounding me. And this, of course, is written by David. My foes attack me all day long. I'm constantly hounded by those who slander me, and many are boldly attacking me. But when I am afraid, I'll put my trust in you. I will praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. And keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This know, God is on my side. I will praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I'll praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? I will fulfill my vows to you, O Lord, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You've kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. So what David is saying is, when I am afraid. You got to think, and we're going to talk about this in just a minute. David with Goliath was the only man in Israel that wasn't terrified of Goliath. But just because you're not afraid at one time doesn't mean you won't be afraid later. What time I am afraid, two times in that psalm, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Some of you probably have watched the Rocky Balboa movies. Rocky Balboa is a fighter out of Philadelphia, and he's kind of a guy that doesn't have much ability, but he's got a lot of heart. And so he goes way beyond the normal. In Rocky I, the first movie, Rocky Balboa loses to Apollo Creed. But then they have a rematch. And in Session 2, Rocky Balboa wins, and nobody ever thought he could. Nobody had gave him any indication that he could. But after 2, he starts to live the good life. Everything's going his way. But then in 3, there's a brand new challenger coming along. His name is Clubber Lang, and he's played by Mr. T. Mr. T was the guy who said, I pity the fool that comes against me, okay? He's a big guy. And Rocky's coach, Mickey, doesn't want Rocky to fight with Clubber Lang because Clubber Lang, the coach knows Rocky doesn't have a chance. But Rocky goes ahead to the fight, and the night that he fights, Mickey has a heart attack and dies. And Rocky Balboa is still fighting, and he gets beat to a pulp. After that's done, Rocky's got some real emotional problems. Number one, his coach is dead, primarily because Rocky wanted to fight and shouldn't have. Number two, he got beaten so bad he doesn't want to fight anymore. But along comes a rematch. And the one that he won the first time, his trainer, Apollo Creed, is now his trainer. But Rocky doesn't have the heart to fight. Rocky's always had not much ability, but huge heart. Now everything's changed. Rocky has more ability, but his heart's failing. David learned the same thing. What time I am afraid. Rocky wasn't afraid in 1-2, but he gets to 4, and he's afraid. Folks, there are going to come times in your life and mine when we are afraid. Fear is a human emotion. It can be good. But David says, what time I am afraid. He didn't say, if I get afraid. He said, what time I am afraid, I'm going to trust in you. And so it's extremely important we see this in Psalm 56:3. David said, but when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. He doesn't say if I'm afraid, he says when I'm afraid. Folks, every one of us doing just the things God called us to do, not doing dangerous stuff like jumping out of an airplane or something, but just in the normal flow of life, doing what God has called us to do, being the parents we ought to be. Having those children kind of rebel against you, that's a fearful thing. What do I do now? My child, who I love dearly, is rebelling against the direction I'm trying to give him. That can scare a person. How do I handle this? What do I do next? When we're afraid, all we have to do is take the first step of faith to obey our Lord. When we take the first step, God shows himself strong on our behalf. The problem we have as believers is sometimes we won't take the first step. We're too afraid to even do the first step. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 28, it says, they went right into the house where he was staying, and Jesus asked them, do you believe I can make you see? These are two blind men. Yes, Lord, they told him, we do. Then he touched their eyes and said unto them, because of your faith, it will happen. Because of their faith, God deals with men and women, boys and girls, by faith. Not ability, not talent, faith. According to your faith, the Bible says in the King James, so be it unto you. And we have to live by faith. So we're going to be talking about Gideon as we look at a man of faith who did not have the ability to do what God called him to do. I got news for you. You don't either. You and I do not have the ability to do what God has called us to do. Only God can do it. And he's more than willing. In Judges chapter 6, we run across our hero of faith because Gideon knows he does not have the talent. God has called him to take over from the Midianites. And Gideon knows that he can't do it. So as we look at this, we look at the chapter 6, we look at Judges 6 and verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. So the Lord handed them over to the Midianites for 7 years. The evil that they did in God's sight. Remember when they were going to go into the promised land, God said, don't make any peace treaty with the people. Don't let them stay in the land, drive them all out, or they're going to be a thorn in your side. Well, when Israel went in, they didn't drive them all out. And the Midianites, or the, not Midianites, the Canaanites that lived there worshiped false gods. And the people got caught up in worship of idols. And so God gave them over to the Midianites. The Midianites were so cruel that the Israelites made hiding places for themselves in the mountains, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, marauders from Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east would attack Israel, camping in the land and destroying crops as far as Gaza. They left the Israelites with nothing to eat, taking all the sheep, the goats, the cattle, and donkeys. These enemy hordes, coming with their livestock and tents, were as thick as locusts. They arrived on the droves of camels, too numerous to count, and they stayed until the land was stripped bare. So Israel was reduced to starvation by the Midianites. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord for help. Remember, they've been worshiping the Baals. The Baals are fertility worship goddesses, or gods and goddesses. And Israelite was greatly impoverished. They cried out to the Lord because the Lord is the one that delivered them from Egypt. The Lord is the one that took them into the land. The Lord's the one that drove them out. But unfortunately, again, they didn't drive out all the people as the Lord had instructed. When we do half of what God calls us to do, I hope you understand it comes back to get you. We have to do all that God has called us to do, or we always have to pay a price. You can't be a halfway follower. And sadly today, many people are halfway followers. I know what God says, but some of you, maybe like me, you have grandchildren that were brought up in the faith, that know right from wrong, and choose to do wrong. And you got to say to yourself, I don't know why this happens, but the fertility goddess and the crop goddess that they worshiped, the Baals, they had sexual practices that they did, and it brought the men into the worship. And it totally destroyed them from following the Lord. However, when we cry out to the Lord, unless it's too late, like we talked today about, is it possible for revival in America? If it's not too late for America, there still is possibility of a major revival. There is going to come a time with every nation where the Lord says, okay, I'm done with you because you're not walking with me anymore. I hope we're not there. I hope we have time. But in Judges 6:11, because they did cry out to the Lord, then the angel of the Lord, now the angel of the Lord, whenever you see that in the Old Testament, that is Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord, every time, if you see an angel of the Lord, that can be any angel. But every time you see the angel of the Lord, it's a pre-incarnate appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, the son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of a winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir Gideon replied, If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I'm sending you. Folks, how would you like to be Gideon? He's hiding. He's afraid. Gideon is the modern day Barney Fife. Gideon is not a great warrior. The Lord said, Mighty warrior. He's not a mighty warrior. He's hiding. He's afraid just like everybody else. He's a fearful recipient of God's word. And sadly, all of us are exactly the same way from time to time. Sometimes we feel great strength in the Lord, and when he calls us to something, we're more than ready to go. Other times when he calls us, we don't feel strong. I'm not strong in that area, Lord, that you're calling me to go into. But Gideon wasn't strong either. Gideon did something that I want to give you the advice to follow the example. Although Gideon knew he couldn't do it, he stepped out on faith, believing God would do it through him. That's so important for us to understand, because if every time the Lord calls us to do something and we're looking to our own strength and our own ability, we won't obey. Because we know in our heart we can't. But if you know the Lord, you know that he can. And he can use the least talented, the least equipped, to do great works for him. We walk by faith and not by sight. So encouragement number one, we need to remind ourselves of the Lord's presence. He said, I'm sending you, but he's also going to go with him. Go in verse 14 says, have I not sent you? Gideon's response, Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? I mean, haven't you heard the song that people sing? People know us, don't they? Do they look at you as a mighty man and a big, strong guy? Or do they look at you as, like me, just an average guy? If somebody was going to pick a warrior, they probably wouldn't pick me, unless I was on second string warrior, okay? I'm not a first string guy. And so Gideon knows that. Gideon tells the Lord, Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. But the Lord said to him, I'll certainly be with you. Remember when you were in grade school and you were picking teams for the ball game? You knew if you had that kid on your team, you had a really good chance of winning. He was strong or she was strong. I had girls in grade school that could hit the ball further than any boy. And so you'd pick them first. Why? Because you want to win. God told Gideon, I'm going to go with you. And that changed everything for Gideon. If the Lord is for me, like David said, What can mortal man do to me? If God is calling you, God will equip you for whatever he's called you to do. And so what we have to do is trust the Lord. The Lord said, I'm going to be with you, Gideon, but how are you going to deliver Israel from the Midianites when they're like locusts? There's so many of them. The Lord says to Gideon, don't worry about that. Trust me. And that's what he says to us. Trust him. If he's called you to something, he's going to be with you in it. So we read in the Old Testament, we read the stories of how God appeared as the angel of the Lord in this particular case. We sometimes think, man, I wish I lived in the Old Testament times when God would from time to time appear to a person, tell him exactly what he wanted him to do, no guessing, no trouble. But, you know, the Lord doesn't do that today. I don't know anybody personally that's ever had the Lord Jesus Christ appear to him. I've heard people make fantastic claims, but I haven't seen the fruit in their lives. Gideon was an Old Testament saint. Old Testament saints are exactly the same as New Testament saints in that he was saved by believing in God's provision. God's provision for the Old Testament saint was to sacrifice the lamb or the oxen, and the blood would cover their sins until Messiah would come. As New Testament saints, we simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his blood covers our sins. So we're saved by faith exactly the same way as the Old Testament saints were. David said, I praise God, my Savior. He had a Savior. So do we. We praise God, our Savior. And we can trust him to do exactly what he said. In Psalm 51, verse 10, when we hit this verse, David had already committed his sin with Bathsheba. David had killed or had her husband killed, and David hid it for a year. And now David is praying in repentance. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. And don't take your Holy Spirit from me. One of the main differences between Old Testament saints and New Testament saints is in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon a believer for service. And when the service was done, the Holy Spirit would go off that person. David knew that the king just before him, King Saul, had lost the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on Saul. Saul served faithfully at first. And then Saul got caught up with the big fact that he was now the king. He got caught up with the big head. He didn't obey the Lord, and it says the Holy Spirit left him. Folks, in the New Testament, you and I don't have to worry about that. We have the promise of God, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So what David's praying is, don't cast me away, Lord. In the Old Testament, if you didn't walk with the Lord, you didn't make it. They didn't get saved the way we do. They had to be faithful all the way through to the end and keep applying the blood and keep trying to do what was right, and then they were saved. So in John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, and I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads all in the truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I'm raised to life again, you'll know that I'm in my Father and you are in me and I am in you. We have the promise of God that he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Hebrews 13, verse 5. He says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Does that remind you of Psalm 56 that we just read? That's what almost word for word that David said. So the Lord never deserts or abandons his children. In the New Testament, when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in us, not upon us. He comes within us, and he'll never leave. And so we have a confidence that the Old Testament saints didn't have. So today, if the Lord's asking you maybe to teach a Sunday school class, maybe to do something else for him, and you're going to say, Lord, I've never done anything even similar to that. I have no ability. The Lord can prepare you. Don't get afraid. If you're sure it's the Lord speaking, realize he already knows you can't, but he can through you. Look at John chapter 15, verse 4. Jesus said, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit of itself if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I cannot fulfill God's call on my life. I can't do it. But he can do it through me. My job is to know what the call is and then to take that first step of faith. I take the first step and God begins to show himself powerful on my behalf, and now I can take a second step. And it's one step at a time. In Psalm 23:1, we're going to see two different ways you can view God. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He leads me to rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Now in verse 4, when we hit that, we're going to see trouble coming into our lives. And in verse 4, the whole attitude changes. He says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid. For you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. When we get into scary situations in life, when we get in over our head and walking with the Lord and whatever he's called us to do, we're all in over our head. We can't do it ourselves. Then we say, though I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear the problems. I won't fear the evil, because why? Because your rod and your staff, you're right by me, you'll protect me. You see, it's not my job to get the job done. It's my job to accept the call, whatever it might be on my life, and allow the Lord to do his work through me. That's all I have to do. And so we have to learn how to push through our fear. Because if you don't push through the fear, you're not going to obey the Lord. You're going to miss out on God's great calling for our lives. Gideon's like, how can I possibly deliver Israel? He's not a warrior. He's not anybody in charge. He's the least in his family, and his family's the least in the tribe, and the tribe is the least in Israel, at least in his view. It can't be done. He says, I'm the runt of the family. I can't do it. And the Lord knows it, because, you know, the Bible tells us who the Lord calls. He says, not many mighty, not many great, not many noble. He calls those who are nobodies in this world to be somebodies for the next world. In Judges 6, verse 34, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. I think of Samson in the same way. When the Holy Spirit came on Samson. Now, I don't know how big Samson was, but I'm going to guess he was probably 6 foot, 5'10", 5'9", I don't know. But he wasn't a huge man. How could Samson rip up, the Bible says he literally ripped the gates, metal gates, lifted them up and carried them off. A normal man can't do that. And Samson couldn't do that either, except the Spirit of God came on him and made him a different man. When we talked about King Saul, when he first became king, the Bible says the Spirit of God came upon Saul and he was a different man. Folks, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and comes within you, it's going to change you. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. He blew a ram's horn to call to arms. And the men of the clan of Abiezer came to him. Normally, they wouldn't have followed him. But when you got that spirit on you, people will follow. He also sent messengers throughout Manasseh, Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, summoning their warriors, and all of them responded. Not because of who Gideon was, but because they knew the call of God was upon him. That's the difference. God's spirit had come upon him, and the Lord clothed himself in Gideon. He came upon him in such a powerful way, God used Gideon when Gideon thought there was no way. So the big question is, when God impresses upon your heart to do something for him, and the fear hits you, I don't like to fail. I don't know about you, but I don't like to fail. And Satan will bring fear into your life, into your heart. Yeah, God called you, but you know you can't do that. That's when you have to step out on faith. You have to say, I really believe God called me to this thing, and I'm going to do the first step. I think about different areas of life, and we'll talk about that more next week. This is going to be kind of a two-week deal, because it's so important that we learn how to obey the Lord through the fear, because every great thing you're ever going to do for God, raising your children for Christ's glory, teaching a Sunday school class, playing an instrument, singing the Lord's praise, it's all done through fear. And so we have to learn how to go through it. When the spies, I think of them, when the spies were sent out by the Lord to spy out the land, the Lord said, go into the land, it's a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to drive those people out before you, and you'll take the land. When the spies went out, 12 of them were sent out to spy out the land. They came back with the report. Yes, the land is land flowing with milk and honey, but they got huge walls, they got giants. We can't do it. What was the problem? It was a lack of faith. What God calls us to do, God will equip us to do. If you're going to live by sight, you're not going to do what God has called you to do. If you're going to live by faith, you're going to accomplish some of the most impossible things you thought you could never, ever do. God wants to move you forward. The people of the nation of Israel believed the 10 spies that brought back the negative report, and because they believed them and not God. We can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden and find exactly the same thing. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because the day you do, you'll surely die. The serpent comes along and says, you won't surely die. God knows when you eat of it, you're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. She believed the serpent and didn't believe God. Do you know why our grandchildren and children are doing the things they're doing today? It's because they're believing the serpent. They're not believing God. They don't want to wait on God. The Bible says those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength like eagles. They don't want to wait. They run ahead, and it's sad. In Proverbs 16:25, it says there's a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in what? Death. Folks, it seems so right. These people that are backing the homosexual movement in our nation, to them it seems so right. But God has said that it's sinful. It's an abomination in his sight. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see one of my grandsons come home with a boyfriend. I don't want to see one of my granddaughters come home with a girlfriend. My sister lives down in Florida, and she lives in an area where they got all these little apartments or condominiums or whatever, and her next-door neighbor came over and said, oh, good, tonight I want you to meet my wife, and it was a woman. Folks, that's not good. It may seem right to them, but it's not right according to God's word. Gideon is nervous. The Lord's telling him these things, I'll be with you. And we have to remind ourselves, Gideon is a man just like us. When we feel the fear and obey anyways, that's when God goes to work on our behalf. That's when God shows himself strong for us. You may feel a Gideon situation when the Lord said, I'm going to be with you. I still remember Jason, I think it was Jason Williams. They had a thunderstorm, and Jason got afraid up in his bedroom at night, and Darla and Pastor went in when he was crying out, and they said, you don't have to be afraid. The Lord's right here with you. And Jason said, where is him? You know, I think back on that with great fondness. It's just a wonderful thing. Gideon really thought he was going to die. When he saw the angel of the Lord and he knew it was the Lord, he knew he had seen God. He thought he was going to die because the Bible says very clearly, no man can see the face of God and live. But the Lord told him, you're not going to die, Gideon. I'm going to use you. God says, don't be afraid. You're not going to die. In Judges 6, verse 17, Gideon replied, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. Don't go away until I come back and bring my offering to you. He answered, I'll stay here until you return. Gideon hurried home. He cooked a young goat with a basket of flour. He baked some bread without yeast. Then carrying the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out and presented them to the angel who was under the great tree. The angel of God said to him, place the meat and the unleavened bread on this rock and pour the broth over it. And Gideon did as he was told. Then the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the bread with the tip of his staff in his hand, and fire flamed up from the rock and consumed all he had brought, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. It's all right, the Lord replied. Do not be afraid. You will not die. Folks, we have to start living more by faith and less by sight. One last verse, there are a couple of verses here, and then we're done for tonight. Judges 6, verse 25. And Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and named it Yahweh Shalom, which means the Lord is peace. Gideon had peace in his heart for the time being. The altar remains in Ophrah in the land of the clan of Abiezer to this day. That night the Lord said to Gideon, take the second bull from your father's herd, the one that is 7 years old. Pull down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole standing beside it. Then build an altar to the Lord your God here on this hilltop sanctuary, laying the stones carefully. Sacrifice the bull as a burnt offering on the altar, using fuel, the wood of the Asherah pole you cut down. So Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord had commanded. But he did it at night because he was afraid of the other members of his father's household and the people of the town. The important thing is Gideon did it even though he was afraid. He did it at night. And you'd say, well, Gideon, you got to have some spunk. Gideon's just starting to get his feet under him. It's going to take a while before Gideon really starts to live by faith and looking forward to the next challenge. But if you never take that step, if you never go and prepare your offering for the Lord, if you don't tear down your father's idols, some of us came from families where our dad was not a believer. At least I did. My dad, I hope he got saved before he died, but he never made a profession to me, and I witnessed to him several times. I had to choose. I'm not going to live the way my dad lived. That's a scary thing, because that's all I knew. And I had to make a decision. And sometimes in life, we have to make some scary decisions. But when we make those decisions, that's when the Lord begins to show himself strong on our behalf, and we get new courage. Gideon is still afraid, but he's starting to move by faith, and God is starting to show himself strong on Gideon's behalf. And we'll pick up our story right there next week, and we'll move forward from there. Any thoughts or questions anybody has? Okay.